Amen. Amen. The Christian life is such a blessed life. We're not alone, ever alone. Not only do we have the people of God who surround us and pray for us and help us, we have the Spirit of God that's always abiding with us. We have the Word of God that's always giving us hope. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so you're not alone in your needs, your struggles, whatever that they might be. Praise the Lord. Let's read some verses in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. We'll read starting with verse number 35. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 35. Praise God. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over into the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. There was also with him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, said unto the sea, peace be still. The wind ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Praise God. Mark's gospel, when you look back at the beginning of the gospel, you see that there's a great multitude of people that have gathered. It says in verse number 1, a great multitude of people gathered together to hear Jesus speak. This chapter of Mark, Jesus deals with several parables, starting with the parable of the sower, goes through some of the other parables. It says actually that with many parables, he spake the word unto them as they were able to hear it. So he was just pouring out to them, and a great multitude of people had gathered together. You know, in the early part of Jesus' ministry, multitudes of people gathered to hear him. The crowds dwindled, you know, as he got closer and closer to the cross, and the price was going to get more and more high. The crowds dwindled somewhat. Jesus even said to his disciples, are you going to go away also? So the crowds thinned out toward the cross. But in this early part of the ministry of Jesus, great multitudes. Remember when there was 4,000 men plus their children, their wives and their children. Another time there were 5,000 that met and Jesus taught these great multitudes. 5,000 plus their wives, plus their children. So I don't know how many people, it doesn't say exactly, but thousands of people were drawn to hear Jesus teach. And that was the case here in Mark chapter 4. Great groups of people that were drawn to him, so much so that Jesus had to get out into a little ship, out into the ship, and stand there because the crowds of people were so great thronging around him that he taught from that boat. And so all that was taught here in Mark chapter 4 was taught from the boat while the people were out on the shore, kind of a natural amphitheater as they were there, and Jesus was speaking to them and giving to them these wonderful principles of the kingdom of God. Praise God. You know, people come to the Lord for a lot of different reasons. Sometimes they come because they are curiosity seekers. They have come out of curiosity. They come, and it's okay. I remember reading about, 100 years ago when a lot of churches that had windows. Church would get into a big way and a big revival, and people weren't willing to come into the service, so they would stand outside and look in the windows to see what was going on. Out of curiosity, they were interested. Remember in Luke chapter 19 that Zacchaeus, he was waiting to see, it says, who Jesus was. It was his curiosity that caused him, this man of short stature, to climb up into a sycamore tree because he wanted to see, who is this? I've heard about this man, Jesus, and he wanted to know more about him. How many of you have ever been to a Brush Arbor meeting, a Brush Arbor revival? And, I'm not as old as Brother Bright, but I think I was the only one that lifted my hand that been to Brush Arbor. A Brush Arbor is just a meeting where they would put leaves and limbs over the top of trees and stretch it out as a sort of a makeshift roof, and they would conduct a revival meeting underneath that makeshift canopy, a Brush Arbor meeting. And I remember as a kid going to Brush Arbor revival meeting when I was just a young boy. And people would pull up in their cars and unwilling to get out and come into the meeting and sit down, but they would pull up in their cars. They've done this sometimes in tent revivals also. And they would roll the windows down and they would listen from a distance. Curiosity seekers. There very well may have been some of those in the crowd that day when Jesus was teaching the principles of the kingdom from that ship. They may have been there because they were just curious. That's okay. If you're here today because you've heard about what God has done in someone's life, or you're just curious about what goes on inside of a Pentecostal church service, that's okay. Sometimes people come just to check it out. And then the next thing is they not only check it out, but they enter into the wonderful blessings that God has provided. Sometimes curiosity causes a person to witness, to see what God is doing, and then they step out and they partake for themselves. That's fine. That's wonderful. There were probably curiosity seekers in the crowd that day as Jesus spoke, but there was a certain group of people there that were there because they were hungering and thirsting for more knowledge of Jesus Christ. They wanted to know more. You know, there's something that satisfies from the things of God, the Word of God, the presence of God. And there's just something in Jesus Christ that satisfies that nothing else can satisfy. Nothing in the world. There's a spiritual food in the things of God, the Word of the Lord, that feeds you and satisfies you in such a way that nothing else can. Nothing else that the world has to offer can. Jesus himself said, I'm the bread that comes down from heaven, given unto all the world. That's John 6 and 33. And then in verse 31, he said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And really, the manna that fell out of heaven was just what they needed to sustain them through the wilderness experience. I know that later on they wanted the meat and they wanted a lot of other things. But what God rained out of heaven for them was just what they needed for their desert experience. Amen. That manna was a type of Jesus. It was a type of Jesus who could supply and could provide all that we would ever need in him. So there was a group of those people that came because they were hungering and thirsting to know Jesus and to know more about Jesus. Psalms 34 and 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. And there's just something that you can receive. And you'll witness this many times in people that are new Christians. They have an interest. They have a hunger in the Word of God. They want to be in church. They want to be in church as much as they can because they just have this hunger. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. They have a hunger for more. They want to know more. They want to learn more about the Lord. Some of us that have been around for a while, though, we kind of lose our spiritual appetite. And we can be satisfied with, you know, just a little bit will satisfy us. But new Christians and people with a real hunger for God, they want more and more and more of the things that God has for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. There is something about the Lord and about His Word and about His presence that satisfies when nothing else could ever satisfy. Praise God. Amen. So there were those there that day because they were hungering and thirsting after the things of God. And I believe, you can read this and study it on your own time, but I believe that it was this group with this intense hunger and desire that whenever Jesus said, let's, after teaching for the entire day and being exhausted, He says, let's go to the other side. Let's get away from this crowd. Give me a chance to take a nap. And let's go to the other side. But the little phrase that's often overlooked in this passage is the phrase that it says there in verse 36. He was in the ship and there were also with him other little ships. Other little ships that were with him. Those that were in the little ships were people that they didn't get the invitation to be on the ship with those, the inner circle, the disciples that were with Jesus. But they were determined, we're going to go with him anyway. We're going to go too. We're going to get our little boats and we're going to go and we're going to go where he's going. So along with him were these in the little bitty boats. We overlooked that part of the passage for the most part, but those that were in the other ship were those that no doubt wanted to go too, and they weren't satisfied. They wanted more of what they had heard. They wanted to learn more. They wanted to hear more. They weren't a part of the inner circle to go in the big boat with Jesus and the disciples, but they were hungering and thirsting to know more. And so they got their little boats and said, let's just go too. Let's just travel along. Let's get as close as we can and let's travel along with them to the other side. And that's exactly what they did. They went with him. Amen. There's such a blessing in knowing that God has provided for us more and more and more. If you go to the Lord and say, Lord, I've heard good things, I've received good things, but I just want more of you, more of the knowledge of the Lord, more of this wonderful experience. And if you really are seeking after God and desiring Him and desiring to know Him and desiring more of the Lord, then He's never going to run out. He's always going to supply you for you. He's always going to be available to you to provide for you what you are in need of. Now we know that God is everywhere present. We understand that, but we also know that those that really want to have a close, intimate fellowship with the Lord, that they make some effort to draw near to God, draw nigh unto Him, it says in James, and He'll draw nigh unto you. We know God's everywhere present, but there's something that's just especially available to those who decide they want to draw nearer to the Lord. They want to get closer to the Lord. And so when you draw nigh to the Lord, then there's just a special time of fellowship. There's a special privilege and a blessing that comes to that person that says, I want more of the Lord. I want to know more. I want to glean more. I think it's pretty impressive because they've spent the entire day, Jesus has spent the entire day teaching them, and there's a select group of them that are there that day that are not satisfied. They want more. They're hungering for more. And so they decide, well, let's get our little boats here and let's just go along with them. Let's follow them. Follow Jesus, where he's going. Let's get as close as we can to the boat, to his boat. Let's get as close as we can to his ship and follow along with the Lord. You draw nigh to the Lord and he'll draw nigh unto you. Amen. You make an effort to get closer to God. Those were the ones that are in the other ship who are drawing nigh unto the Lord. Let me give you another verse of scripture from 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 2. This was in the time when Asa was king and the nation of Israel was in great need of a return to God and revival. There's a great revival under Asa. There was a prophet that came that spoke to him and encouraged him. And here's what he said. He went out to meet Asa and said unto him, "Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you, and while you be with him, if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." And so he spoke to Asa, telling him, "The Lord is with you, but if you'll draw nearer to him, if he can be found of you, if you'll seek after him, that he'll find you. He'll pursue you if you'll seek after the Lord." Oh, what a wonderful promise it is to all of us here today. You're as close to God today as you have determined to be. I can remember a brother in a church that would say oftentimes as a prayer request, he would say, "Just pray that I'll have a closer walk with the Lord." And I would always think, "Brother, just walk closer." I never did say it. Just walk closer. Just get closer. Just make the determination. God's as close to you as you allow him to be. If you'll just determine, "I want more of the Lord. I want more of the things of the Lord." Now, you're not going to have a hunger and an appetite for the things of God if you fill up your life with everything that the world has to offer. You'll lose your interest in the things of God and the house of God and the Word of God. You'll lose your interest in things that normally you would desire. If you fill up your life with the things of this world, you'll lose your spiritual interest, your spiritual appetite. But these were some people who are hungering and thirsting and longing to be as close to the Lord as they could be. Praise God. Amen. It says there were little ships. Let me just take off on that just a little bit. You know, it doesn't matter. You may not feel like that you're an important person, that you're valued, but I want you to know that you're valued to God, in the kingdom of God. You may feel like you're small and insignificant, but you're not. God's no respecter of persons. He doesn't love one above another. But I want you to know that the inner circle that were close to Jesus, he was close to them because they were close to him. Because they leaned in to him. They leaned in to the Lord Jesus. And so they were close to him because they had determined to get closer to the Lord. God's no respecter of persons. You may feel like you're little and small and insignificant in the church or in the kingdom of God. It's just not the truth. There's a place for you in the kingdom. You're valuable to God. And you can get as close to God as you want to be. Just think about those that you've admired, people who've walked with God and had such an amazing testimony. And you look to them and think, "My, wouldn't it be wonderful to be like that? To be like that?" You can be. You can be. You can get as close to God as they did and they have. It's available to you if you'll just pursue it. You may have to step out a little bit. It may require you like these folks did. They decided, well, let's just get our little boats and let's go. There's no room for us on the big ship. Let's get our little boats and go with them and get as close to him as we can possibly be. Amen. Glory to God. God's concerned about you, and you're not too little and insignificant. God has a purpose and a plan for you. Now, if you're following the Lord, you can expect that you can expect the unexpected. And on the Sea of Galilee, it's known for its sudden storms. But these disciples were used to that. They were fishermen. They were used to what they would face. But on this particular day, this was a storm of storms. This was a big one. And it's so big that the water is coming into their ship. Coming into their ship, and they are trying to bail the water out, and it's coming in faster than they can bail it out, and they're so afraid, and Jesus is so exhausted that he's in the back side of that bigger ship, asleep, and the storm is about to take down the big boat. If it's about to take down the big boat, what's happening to the little boats out there? Amen. If you're going to follow the Lord, and you're going to get into the storm too. If you've determined, I'm going to seek after the Lord, then you can expect the unexpected. You can expect that you might get into the storm as well. These men went back to Jesus. Master, don't you care about us? Don't you care that we're about to perish? They wake him up from his rest. And Jesus steps up and just speaks to the storm. Peace be still, and stills the storm. Now, I don't know. This is all in my imagination. So let me have it. Let me say it. In my imagination, this is a storm. There's probably lightning. There's probably hardly any other light out there on that sea. But these guys that are about to go down in these little boats, I mean, they're doing everything they can to keep their little boats. And they're dumping the water out, and they're scared to death because their boats are certainly about to go down. I just want to think that in the darkness of the night, they could see in the lightning and all that, they're close enough to the big ship that they could see the silhouette of Jesus standing on the edge of that boat with his hand out reached toward the storm. And then they realized that suddenly, whoo, everything becomes peaceful. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, if you're close enough to the Lord, then you can expect the storm, but you can also expect that to see the power of God and the authority of Jesus over every stormy situation that you're in. I'd rather be in the storm with Jesus than not in the storm without him. Amen. I'd rather have to face the tough situations and the circumstances of life with him than to try it on my own. Praise God that we can put our trust in the Lord. I know that I'm taking this, you know, I may be stretching the text a little bit, but I don't think so. Now, I think that these little ships have followed him, and so as a result, they experienced the power of God. They witnessed firsthand. They may not have heard the words of Jesus, peace be still, but I believe they experienced the peace. Yes. They experienced the peace, and they saw the calm and the deliverance of their own situation in the middle of that storm as well. Oh, listen, we need to stay as close to the Lord as we possibly can. Amen. Because we're all going to face stormy times. We're all going to go through things. And you need the Lord. You need the help of the Lord. You need to be able to experience the power of God working and delivering you in the situations that you might be in. Amen. We all have stormy situations that we go through. We all go through trials and problems in our life. John chapter 16 and verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world You shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Sure, we're in the world. We don't have to live of the world, but we live in the world. And there's turmoil, and there's problems, and there's all kinds of things that are going on. But we need to make sure that we're as close to Jesus as we can possibly get. As close to the Lord as we can possibly get. You stray away from the Lord, and you're going to find yourself in a vulnerable place. You're going to find yourself in a dangerous place. Stay as close to the Lord as you can. We all face trials and temptations. No temptation has taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You might be in the middle of the temptation, but just make sure you are close to the Lord. Make sure that you're close to Jesus. And sometimes temptations drive people away from God. They get bitter against God. Don't let that happen to you. When you go through a trying situation, stay as close to the Lord as you possibly can. Stay in the presence of God. Stay in the Word of God. Stay in the house of God. Take advantage of every spiritual opportunity that you can to stay close to the Lord. Amen. In the middle of your trial, God will reveal Himself. Amen. So they had, because they ventured out in the little boats, they got into a storm. They were even more vulnerable than the big ship was, but they were in a position to see the mighty hand of God work in their behalf. Glory be to God. Amen. They witnessed the peace in the middle of the storm. They witnessed God's mighty hand to deliver them from the storm. Stay as close to Him as you possibly can. Don't let anything. So out of all that great multitude of people that gathered on the shore to hear Jesus teach, out of that group, there were some that were more seriously committed. They wanted to stay with Him. They wanted to hear more. They wanted to stay as close as they could to Jesus. And so they get in the little boats and they stay as close as they can. Now, it doesn't say, I read through the text, it doesn't say that they went all the way to the other side with Him. I don't know that they did. I don't know that they didn't. They may have went to the other side. If they did, then they witnessed His power over that demoniac. If they did, they saw the power of God at work there to deliver that man who was bound by demons. If they went, they were able to experience God's mighty hand to bring hope and deliverance, even in that situation. If they stayed with Him, then the next place they went back to the other side, and Jesus continued to teach the principles and the parables of the kingdom of God. If they stayed with Him, like I expect they probably did, when it says another great multitude gathered themselves to Jesus, they were probably in the same crowd. And they stayed with Him and were as close as they could to Jesus because they wanted to receive everything that He had for them. Is that your desire today? I want more of Jesus. I want to know Him in a greater way. I want to stay as close as I can to Him because He has a word for your present situation. He has an answer to your present predicament that you might be faced with today. And the Lord can speak to you in your need, in your situation. The Lord can reveal Himself to you in the middle of your storm, in the middle of your trial, your tribulation. As you stay close to Him, you can witness the power of God helping you in your circumstance, whatever that might be. And we need to take hold of the promise of God here today. Hallelujah. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your presence. And we know, Lord, that You're with us every day. And You care about us. You care about the storms and the trials and the struggles of our lives. And Lord, You can speak peace in the middle of it all. You can bring deliverance, Lord, to us. Help us, Lord, to draw nigh to You, to stay close to you, Lord, to not let anything hinder us, but to be in pursuit of the presence of God, to be in pursuit of the things of God, because we know, Lord, that it's there that we can receive the help that we're in need of. Hallelujah. Oh, we do thank you, Lord. We do thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Some of you have gone through trials and troubles and problems, and you've allowed those things to motivate you to cry out to God, to get closer to God, to be drawn closer to Him. I just want to encourage you today. Don't be discouraged. Don't get bitter. Don't get angry. Things that you're going through, don't allow it to drive you away. But instead, let it motivate you to do whatever you have to do to stay close to the Lord. Do whatever is necessary so that you can hear His voice, experience His presence and His power. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.